on behalf of Petitioner Dario Medina. Today, this court is considering a consolidated petition for review of both the denial of Ms. Medina's asylum application and the court's denial of her motion to reopen. And the court finds itself in a little bit of an unusual posture here, as the parties actually agree that remand is required. It's just kind of a question of the scope of that remand and how this court should read the case and what the nature of that remand is.
Do you want us to remand with directions to the board, basically, to afford relief? Is that what you're asking for?
Almost. I think that...
I mean, either eventually we have to be careful how we phrase it.
Sure. The unresolved issue, I think, that the petitioner's view is that did not engage in a permissible fact-finding in assuming her credible and then analyzing the undisputed facts before it. And
so you think this was sort of one of those cases where the board says, well, even if the petitioner was credible, we're looking at the evidence here, and as a matter of law, we make the following rule.
Right. I think it's actually really similar to the kind of case that both this court and the board reviews where there's, like, not an explicit adverse credibility finding. And this court's like, the judge kind of hinted that there was an adverse credibility finding but didn't make it explicit. So, we're not going to make one, and now we're just going to analyze the undisputed facts, and that's what we're required to do. This court doesn't engage in fact-finding when it does that, and neither did the board when it did the same. In light of that, then this court is allowed to review the kind of substantive decision on past persecution, whether the nexus standard was met, the government's willingness, ability to protect a Jewish person in Russia, and whether Ms. Medina had an independent fear. And I think if the court finds that the board erred in seeing that there's no past persecution, which I think it's quite clear from this record, also respondent didn't make any argument that there was no past persecution.
What do you do with the fact that as I read the IJ's decision, the IJ essentially said, I do not find the petitioner credible, therefore petitioner doesn't meet the statutory requirement of stating a prima facie case for relief. It didn't look to me like the IJ spent much time analyzing the actual acts to determine whether or not they constituted persecution under the statute. And that's what the board did, assuming she was credible. So why doesn't that, on this record, amount to findings of fact that the IJ never made?
Because, I guess two things. One, the IJ did go to the issue of persecution and independent well-founded fear. And she didn't spend a ton of time on it. There wasn't a ton of analysis. And the primary finding was an adverse credibility. But there were other findings in the board's decision. And in the immigration judge's decision, the board actually goes so far as to acknowledge them and says, I'm looking at these other documents in the record. She didn't establish past persecution. The IJ analyzed an objective well-founded fear. The board thinks she did that. If you look at the board's decision at 206, you'll see that at Administrative Record 206, we agree with the immigration judge's alternative finding that the objective evidence does not independently support a well-founded fear.
What the IJ found that is sort of a little bit ambiguous is that the court finds that none of the above documentation, standing alone without the credible testimony of the respondent, establishes persecution.
That's right.
So I take it you read that to mean if she's not credible, then there isn't enough here to establish persecution.
Yes, I do. And then the board said, okay, and she made an adverse, the IJ made an adverse credibility finding. We're going to just assume her credible. We're going to assume these facts are disputed, and we think it doesn't matter. And it's almost the same way the board does when they say there wasn't an explicit adverse credibility finding, so we're just going to...
So this then, what was the IJ essentially saying, I don't believe this person, and these documents standing alone are not sufficiently authenticated because I've got an incredible witness who's laying the foundation for it.
And that may...
Let me finish up. I'm not sure whether the IJ meant... if I had found the petitioner credible, I would have ruled that the documents were properly authenticated and therefore were admissible in evidence. And then, considering my rule on the substantive merits, Or did the IJ in the passage that Judge Schroeder just quoted simply mean, I don't believe the witness, therefore these documents are not credible, I'm done here, she hasn't met her burden, and I think there's a difference.
I think there may be a difference, but I think what the board did is just say, look, we're not going to worry about this credibility finding. I think, frankly, the board had reasons to not affirm the IJ's credibility finding, given this court's, it was almost entirely based on implausibility and speculation, which this court is very skeptical of. The board probably had a sense of that. I mean, we can't know for sure, but I think they had good reason not to. And said, you know what, look, it's kind of like when there's not an explicit adverse credibility finding, we're just going to look at the undisputed facts. We're going to do that now.
The point you're coming back to is that when the fact finder doesn't believe the only witness who testified at the hearing, then it's tantamount to saying, I just don't believe the story.
Sure.
Right.
But the board isn't, there's no case law and nothing in this court's precedent, the board's precedent, that suggests that the board isn't allowed to just assume credibility and apply standards of law de novo to undisputed facts. And since these are all de novo reviews, since past persecution is de novo review, since independent, well-founded fear, objective evidence is de novo review, since unwilling and able is de novo review, these are all de novo anyway. So it's hardly relevant.
Okay, well, what do you want us to do?
Well, what I think would be the most helpful is to say the past persecution, she did establish past persecution, and then remands that DHS can have an opportunity to rebut that presumption, which they didn't have.
That's what she did. How did she prove what happened to her, assuming she's credible about
her? She has two independent beatings on the street from skinheads that both called her by name, that had swastika tattoos, that used racial epithets. She has a home invasion in which the robbers told her, take your Jew business back to Israel. They clearly were not just criminally motivated, they were motivated to run a Jewish person out of Russia. She has another, you know, frightening attack by her husband's business associates that also used Jewish slurs against her, threw a wrench at her in a scary event. She has some childhood persecution as a Jewish person. The board needed to look at all that cumulatively. They did a really poor job of analyzing those things together. And I think they quite clearly amount to past persecution on account of her Jewish ethnicity. Another point I just want to make really quickly before I reserve the rest of my time. Yeah, it's just that a motions panel of this court in October 2013 already decided not to remand this case. That was on docket entry 33 in October 2013. A motions panel affirmed the appellate commissioner's decision not to, in a motion to reconsider, not to remand for fact.
The government's saying we agree to remand, so are you arguing law of the case?
Kind of, yeah.
You can't order.
Not exactly that you can't, but just that, like, this is not a jurisdictional question, and a motions panel already decided this, so it's flabbergasting to me that the government would ask this court to overrule another motions panel in this way. They do, but they didn't make any arguments on the substance, you know? And so,
they haven't made any argument on the merits. So your position is that they've waived any argument on the merits.
Right. Okay. Yeah, yeah. And so I'll reserve the rest of
it.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning.
My name is Isidore Andrew Singa on behalf of the Attorney General. The immigration judge is a fact finder in this case, and the facts the petitioner just recited to establish past persecution were never found by the immigration judge. The burglary, what actually occurred, did actually occur, was the persecutor primarily motivated by crime, were they motivated by her religion? Which one is it? These are matters that under regulations need to be determined by the finder of fact in the first instance.
So you would argue that we need to remand to the BIA so that it can then remand to the IJ? Is that what the government wants?
The court should remand the case back to the board to, in the first instance, decide what is the appropriate step. It can reaffirm the adverse credibility determination if it desires. In that case, it will need to reevaluate the motion to reopen, because an adverse credibility determination can impact Mr. Reopen. But
why, if we remand, doesn't that move the motion to reopen? Why do we need
Well, because sending the trust motion to reopen back would only send it back to the board. Ultimately, the Attorney General's discretion to deny a motion to reopen, regardless of whether the petitioner makes out her case. So the case would have to simply go back to the board.
Well, you have two separate issues here, and that's what's confusing me. One is this question of what to do with the adverse credibility determination that the board assumed for purposes of its analysis had come out the other way. Then we have the subsequently filed motion to reopen. So if we decide there was error with regard to the first, and we send it back, doesn't that mean
well, first of all, the adverse credibility determination, the parties agree, is before the court. So the courts are reviewing the adverse credibility determination. So it's a
court problem if the court didn't say anything other than even assuming she was credible. It didn't say, first, we find that there is substantial evidence in the record to support the adverse credibility determination. And then alternatively, even if we assume that she was credible, and they didn't do that. I mean, I'm sort of rewriting the opinion that I wish they had written, but we're stuck with the record as it is.
Exactly. And the Attorney General saying that record was never established by the immigration judge and then the board engaged in improper fact finding. In this case, it's actually fairly similar to Brazilian. In Brazilian, the evidence was in the record. And it was about an immigration officer's testimony about whether a gas tank was filled. That was the operative fact. The immigration judge didn't reference that the gas tank was filled because he made a different finding in that case. But the board came along and said, well, look, we're not finding facts. All we're doing is pointing to the record saying, well, here it is. It's right there. But what this court said was the board can't do that under the regulations. There was no ambiguity about the board's decision.
What is the case that you say is closest to this?
Brazilian, it's BRECILIAN. It's cited in our brief.
It's at 569-4.
So, there's no ambiguity in this court's decision in that case. The government in that case said, well, if this court finds this improper in the regulations, it should go back to the board under Ventura. But what this court said is, no, it's unambiguous that the board cannot find this fact. And that fact absolutely was to
the record. You have to be able to say that the IJ didn't find that, didn't decide on
that. Correct. And the immigration judge didn't.
And the laws that you have here is an ambiguous statement. It says that she needs to have credible testimony because it's not in the rest of this.
Well, it's not ambiguous, Your Honor. I mean, the entire decision, when you look at the fact-finding section, it's entirely adverse credibility. Then at the very end, which the court cites, this is page 302 of the record, the immigration judge says, well, let's look at the objective evidence. The evidence ignoring your testimony. But that's because this court requires the immigration judge to do that.
But this won't happen. I guess I don't know, understand why we should remand for the board to do something that's already done.
Except what it did was improper. The immigration judge has to do this in the first instance. And again, Brazilian really is the most straightforward case. Rodriguez, and for the future facts, Ridore, the board's new decision, CCO, it has, which sort of points out to some very unusual situation.
Ridore, is that the name? That's really the seminal. Is that the seminal case?
That's similar on what will occur in the future. Again, so what is finding the facts? What did actually occur? What will occur? And what motivated the people as for the future? Ridore deals with the future. Rodriguez originally deals with essentially past or historical discrete facts. The location petitioner runs to that litany of facts and says, well, this just supports past persecution. It's not the immigration judge's decision. It is not.
Is that because you're adopting the reading that I suggested to your opponent that once the immigration judge made the adverse credibility finding, the IJ was done? I'm just not buying this story. You haven't carried your burden to establish an entitlement to
rule. Right, this is one of those cases which it's not always a small comment where the immigration judge says, accurate, done, nothing else. The board does often, and the immigration judge often, do engage in alternative findings. But what happens in those cases are the immigration judge actually makes findings. In fact, there often is a fact finding where it says, this is what happened.
They're really asking us to parse the IJ's decision when the board does this. I don't see that our law has really done that. It's one thing for the IJ to find a fact and then have the board say the fact is different, which is what has happened in the past.
Except
in case that you cannot do.
ACFR 1003.1D.4 says absolutely, if the board can't decide a case without finding facts, it has to send it back to the immigration judge. And again, in Brazilian, it answers this question. Are there facts in this record? Yeah. Is this board decision defensible? On the merits? Sure. Except in the regulation, the board can't do what it did. We need further fact finding. Why did the burglars do what they did? Why? What actually happened at the garage? What was thrown at the garage? What motivated that person? All these are fact finding that the immigration judge must, under regulations, do in the first instance. In Rodriguez and Brazilian, do you parse it out that clearly? That is what the court has said. So when we look at the immigration judge's decisions, and the board does cite, says, well, here's the finding of fact.
So, but why do you want us to just remand it to the board? Why can't we remand it to the board and tell the board in our disposition, we're going to send this back to the immigration judge to correct the violation of the HF regulation?
Well, because the immigration judge didn't violate the regulation. But the immigration judge is acceptable. But what the board has to do is either affirm the adverse credibility determination or send it back for fact finding. Those are the board's choices here. It can't do what it did here. Brazilian and Rodriguez are clear that it cannot do this.
What would they remand for further fact finding? They change it to fact finding by the board judge was not sufficient. If you have an analysis of the evidence, it was
the difficulty is immigration judge only went to the evidence, certain documentary evidence, that alone is not sufficient.
Well, the evidence consisted of what? The documentary evidence of her testimony.
But her testimony, and without her being credible, there's no.
So the IJ said, look, unless I accept her evidence as credible, this doesn't make it.
Well, accepting into all the evidence is from her. If she's not credible, that ends the case. This is one of those cases where this is complete adverse credibility determination. And again, they're
worth stopping my evidentiary authentication theory that once you find the witnesses offering the document not credible, then you can't accept or establish a foundation to consider those documents.
Well, the difficulty is that's not exactly what the immigration judge said. But I appreciate the difficulty. So, part of the difficulty is it's a mess. That is why, for 5 years, the government has been attempting to send this case back to the board. For 5 years, we've been trying to send this case back. So, it's a mess. Let the board fix it under regulations. Let the board comply with their treaties and Brazilian. Send this case back to the board.
I wanted to go back to the point about the motion to reopen. If this court remands without specific instructions to send this all the way back to the immigration judge, then the motion is not moved.
Would you have the authority to do that under Ventura?
I think that this court could say the board is allowed to assume we're credible, is allowed to apply undisputed facts, is allowed to assume undisputed facts and get to de novo analysis.
But I guess that assumes that we agree with your argument.
Sure.
That the board actually.
And if you do.
That the IJ actually made findings of fact.
Or that the board.
Assumes that the board impermissibly made findings of fact that the IJ
No, no. That the board is allowed to just assume her credibility. To say this credibility decision is what it is, but we're going to assume her credible, we're going to just apply undisputed facts to de novo, to law, that these are legal issues we apply de novo anyway. If you send it all the way back to the IJ, then the MTR is moved. If you just send it back to the board, and the board ends up dismissing her PFR for whatever reason, the MTR has to be alive. Otherwise, we don't get another stab at bringing it back to you. And so I just wanted to make that point. The other point I just want to make,
we do say that Mapper would have to be with the instructions to IJ consider them.
Exactly, yeah. And just lastly, Brazilian and Rodriguez, they just don't say that the board cannot assume her credible. That question of whether the board can assume her credible and apply undisputed facts, the board does it all the time. This court does it all the time. Neither the board or this court are fact finders. And there's no case law, not a single case in the circuit or any circuit that I can find, that says the board and this court, as not fact finders, can't just assume her credible and apply her testimony to the law de novo, as this court often does. Thank you, Your Honor. I appreciate it.
The case is submitted. Thank you all for the argument. Very helpful.